Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 125. This is our second episode of 2021. We're continuing with our guests as well. We've got somebody who was very high on that list straight away. We've been supporting him right since episode one. I know you've heard his jingle on our podcast, so we wanted to make sure we got him in super early. We've just been arguing at the start how we're going to introduce you, so we'll go through all the monikers. Mr. TW Takes, Bishop TW Takes Podcast. How are you today, sir?
Doing very well. It is nice to see you again, Graham. Matt, it was a pleasure to meet you. I look forward to having a good one on here. It's always been cool to hear my voice on the commercial that you played. You know, what really surprised me, not to ramble from the beginning here, but you know, you told me you would play it on there and I thought it was a one-off. And then I would listen and there it is again. And then there it is. Then it wasn't there for 2 weeks and all of a sudden it pops up again. I'm like, man, you guys are the best. So I'm glad to be here. We talked about it last year and I'm glad to be on it this year.
The point I'd like to make about that is that when Graham took his enforced time off at the end of last year, Graham sent me across all of the, because he'd done all the editing for a long time during lockdown because he was working from home, so he had the time to do the editing. I took over doing the editing, more than happy to do so. And he sent through this massive amount of stuff to put in. I'm like, where am I putting all of this? Come on. But then I heard your one, and I was like, isn't your show unbelievable?
Oh, thank you.
In the words of Craig Revel-Horwood, fabulous.
It fits, I would say, the attention to detail, and I know you gave it a lot of thought. You're like, well, I got this idea, and I got this idea, and I was like, oh my gosh, you're going way over the top with this, but it fits in perfectly with our theme of good cop and bad cop, so that made it stay in. The reason sometimes it doesn't fit in is, as well, I've been really anal these last few weeks trying to get those episodes at exactly 1 hour, so if I need to chop 30 seconds, then that's that 30 seconds that's going. If we're at 59:30, then sometimes it's like, well, that's definitely going to take me onto that. I have a feeling, Matt, this might be the most difficult episode to try and do that. At some point, I'm probably going to cave anyway. Is it that important that it's exactly an hour? It probably isn't, really, is it?
You're asking me that question, Graham. I could keep talking for 90 minutes, hour and a half, 6 hours maybe even sometimes.
I'm going to suggest that we go less than 6 hours, but we will do our best. That would probably be a little excessive. I suggest that we move on to our first segment of Good Cop Moments.
Good! Bad!
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. I also discuss some of your terrible and not so terrible wrestling takes. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.
Good! Bad!
Go ahead, Bishop. Tell us your main good cop moment for this week.
It was a little difficult, but then it wasn't, because I didn't want to go with the obvious, but I'll steal it from you guys. Raquel Gonzalez is my main good cop this week. I made the declaration when NXT brought back Halloween Havoc that this is where Rhea is going to build up Raquel Gonzalez. But in watching the Last Woman Standing match on NXT, I felt like it's always been in Raquel to be this phenomenal of a performer. At Just In Time 211, a great supporter of all of us during the Twitch chat, said she was giving him China vibes. And you can see it from the stature, but Raquel is such an agile athlete that China really wasn't. China was like a really straightforward kind of performer, that what Raquel's doing in the ring and what she was able to do with Rhea Ripley on Wednesday was just absolutely fantastic. I don't know if NXT was biding their time before they brought Raquel to the forefront, but the fact that she's there, her last three matches, I believe it's the last three, she's gotten a win over a former or current NXT Women's Champion. I mean, what else can I say? I mean, she is just doing absolutely phenomenal work right now.
She was somebody who was not on my radar probably 6 weeks ago. If you'd have asked me to like rank my people who are making a big impact over on NXT right now, she was not even on my radar at all. You could have asked me to write as many names as I thought, and I probably wouldn't have even written her name down. But the push that she's been given these last few weeks and the opportunity that she's taken and made it her own as well, very impressive. Matt?
I have to agree. She's been built very, very steadily, and she's now... How, if she's not number one contender for the Women's Championship after that sort of performance, I don't know what she needs to do. We know Rhea Ripley is on the verge of a call up to the main roster, as it were. Although I know NXT is main roster, but you know what I mean. But we want to see Rhea Ripley on Raw or SmackDown. We want to see her mixing up, and I wouldn't be surprised if she enters and wins the Royal Rumble and ends up having a rematch against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania.
You tend to know these things. What's the odds on Rhea Ripley winning the Royal Rumble?
I can tell you, Graham. If you want me to give me a second to fill some time for me, will you?
Fill some time for you. I know that Matt already has a bet on for the men's Royal Rumble winner. I think it's Seth Rollins, I believe.
It is Seth Rollins. Your son gave me the tip during Christmas cracker time, Graham, yes.
And you trust in him. Yeah, we'll have to see.
He's usually right.
He's normally not too far off the mark. I got to be honest, right now, if I had to make my pick, I don't think it's a terrible choice right now. If you're going to pick somebody who's going to possibly face Roman Reigns, then there's certainly a storyline that you could go with there with their history. And the fact that he's taken a bit of time out, and you obviously get that pop when they come back after that little break as well. So I certainly don't think Seth Rollins is a horrible pick right now.
Rhea Ripley is 5-1.
Oh, geez, that's really short. Yeah. Who's the favorites? Can you read the first few favorites then?
Bianca Belair is the favorite, 5-2.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss, 6-1.
So Rhea's second favorite?
Yep. And fourth favorite is Ronda Rousey.
Interesting. It's been a while.
I would prefer the Ronda at all on that. I've been dying for her to come back. She just adds a legitimacy that everyone else can feed off of. And, you know, my number one dream match for Rhea, because I'm a huge Rhea guy. My number one for her is a proper match with Becky Lynch, but close second is just a fist fight with Ronda.
Yeah, I don't think we could argue with that. Now, as I knew that you were probably going to talk about WWE or NXT, because you do that on your show, and knowing that Matt was going to do the same, I thought, well, we better break this up a little bit. I haven't seen much indies this week, which made this really difficult. So I kind of went down through the list. I'm not going to talk about AEW, but I am going to talk about them later. Ring of Honor only had a recap show, like fantastic. So I tried NWA Shockwave, and they haven't had an episode in 2 weeks. I did go to Impact, and they haven't had a show for 2 weeks, which was my bad cop moment. Thankfully, this week, they did have a show, and that's actually where my good cop moment's going to come from. Mm-hmm. However, it's not the number one moment, which showed Eddie Edwards with a barbed wire around his neck being attacked by Sami Callihan, even though they've been building on that story. It's not the number two moment with Kenny Omega coming over there again and basically taking out the team ahead of the pay-per-view. I can't remember what it is. It's the Machine Gun. I can never remember what that tag team's called.
Motor City Machine Guns.
Thank you, the Motor City Machine Guns. I just, for some reason, cannot remember their names. I remember half of it, but not the whole name.
That team name been going longer than Mason's been alive.
I've only been aware of them for the last few months, so that's why it's not so familiar to me. It's not the number three moment either, with Taya Valkyrie, the longest reigning women's Impact champion, and Deonna Purrazzo, the wrestler of the year from Impact as well, squaring off. It's not the fourth moment. It's not even the fifth moment. This didn't even make the top five moments, but my good cop moment for this week was the introduction of some new talent onto the men's roster. I've talked a lot about people joining the women's roster. The X Division match that sets up ready for the pay-per-view this weekend and also the main pay-per-view the following weekend, Blake Christian has joined the roster. He had a match with Ace Austin, Casey Navarro, who I'll be reviewing with Mason as part of the MGB review for Synergy Pro this weekend, and also Crazy Steve. Those guys are phenomenal. I love that flippy stuff. I love all the acrobatic stuff. Those guys have been killing it on the indies for a long time, and it was great to see those guys come up. Blake Christian, admittedly, I'm not as familiar with. I've seen him a few times on GCW, and he's always really impressed. So that was a bonus one for me. I really watched this for Casey Navarro because of the Synergy Pro connection. And Matt, I've talked with you about this as well. We've seen him down in Mason and I've seen him down in VCW wrestling, not in the same match as, but on the same card as our good friend Benjamin Banks as well. They've set it up perfectly to set up the next events at the pay-per-view for the X Division Championships, and it was great to see. Those guys stepped up instantly, high energy, high octane, and that was exactly what I was looking for this week. I was looking for something that was going to be just blow my socks off, and it did not disappoint. We had all the flips, we had all the suicide dives. That was my good cop moment for the week. Great to see those indie guys moving up to the next level, and also to see them impact men's roster as well, bringing some of that talent up. They've done a much better job, I think, from the female side.
It's certainly good to see more independents coming through, Graham. I'm looking to see that they're going to, not necessarily going straight to AEW or to NXT. Impact deserves some of the good talent as well, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all these promotions and TV shows or what have you, whatever you want to call them, and ROH included, they just need to fill out their rosters and provide quality wrestling. You know, it's, for me, at least in, you know, this stage is my wrestling watching. I want to watch a match and have some fun. You know, it doesn't have to be who's the best on the mic. It doesn't have to be who's the best at even necessarily producing TV. If it's a good match, I'll watch a good match, you know, and if these indie guys pull off, you know, quality matches, then by all means, please sign to a promotion that puts you on TV. You know, I've heard great things about MLW, and it takes so much time to find MLW that I don't get a chance to watch it. And hey, look, man, I know the Motor City Machine Guns. Okay, you don't have to be baffled with me.
I'm throwing my yeah. All right, I'm going to give you a little tip. It's on a little channel that you can find on the internet. It's called YouTube.com. You might have heard of it. You
type it. Not quite familiar. I'll try.
You'll find it straight away. Okay.
Is that the letter U or is it spelled out?
Can I say I've never seen Graham stuck for words before.
I wasn't stuck for words.
For reply, never mind. Right. So
you might... Tell us about your WWE moment of the week. Tell us about SmackDown.
I'm not going to hear about SmackDown, Graham. I'm going to talk to you about Sports Illustrated.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
Sports Illustrated.
The person from SmackDown's at the top, though, right?
Sports Illustrated have listed their top 10 wrestlers of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could quite easily talk about who is number one, and she's very... And the fact that it's a woman is amazing. But at the same time, that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about who's fourth.
Oh, I'm trying to rack my brain now. I can't remember that far down. I'm really struggling.
Let me put it this way. But bearing in mind you've got all of these amazing companies. We've had some amazing wrestling in 2020 as well, despite the fact that we've been living in an isolation period and we've had people having to be taken off TV due to exposure. And yet we've still had some amazing matches. We've had some amazing storylines still. Some not so good. Yeah, we've had some terrible things. Rey Mysterio's eye, for example, comes to mind. It was just wrong. You've got three AEW on the list. You've got four WWE on the list. And you've got two... New Japan. I'm actually quite annoyed that Kota Ibushi, who is eighth, and Tetsuya Naito, who is fourth, aren't higher.
Okay.
They should be at least...
That's your good cop moment that you thought...
No. I'm annoyed about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm annoyed about it, but I'm extremely happy that they have been recognised. Because bearing in mind, New Japan took most of a year off.
Yeah.
And despite that, they're still on that list. That's how good they are. And the good cop moment is that they still got the recognition that they deserved.
All right, Matt Guy's got a question, if you don't mind here. I heard you say this was a top 10. I heard you say 4 WWE. I heard you say 3 AEW. And I heard you say 2 New Japan. So I did a quick little bit of counting there. That's 9. So just out of curiosity, what was the 10th?
NXT.
Oh, okay.
I don't technically say umbrella, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But also, looking down that list, there are 3 women on the list in general, which I think is quite impressive. It's nice to see a lot of multicultural on there, definitely.
Okay. Who was the NXT person? Because I honestly don't remember.
Io Shirai.
Okay. Yeah, no problems with that at all. No problems with that, yeah. I'm a little surprised Sasha was number one, I got to be honest. Like, I didn't think she had a complete year in 2020. Certainly the second half, I think, was very dominant.
And Bayley wasn't there, right? Bayley was 6. Okay. Yeah, I didn't look too far into it, but when I saw Sasha was 1, and, you know, I think Bayley having the singles title reign for as long as she did, mm-hmm. you know, and they co-opted the tag titles, that Sasha would take any position higher than her over 2020 just didn't add up for me.
I would agree with that, and I would say Sasha's my favorite probably female wrestler, with the exception when Ronda Rousey's not around anyway. So I'm certainly a big Sasha fan, but I thought that was kind of surprising that on the basis of work from last year that she was ahead of Bayley. But that's why we have these lists. They provoke some debate, and you can certainly discuss them and give your own opinions, that's for sure.
Good! Bad!
All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free.
Good! Bad!
All right, we've cretin. Dealt with the... Are you okay there, Matt?
Absolute cretin!
You should be impressed that I actually watched Raw and SmackDown this week, because I knew you guys would talk about that, but I'm like, you expect me to watch 3 WWE products in 1 week?
No,
you
absolutely crazy. Start with NXT. That's changing my bad cop moment. Start
he talks
with NXT.
About Raw. I know, we know that NXT is the best one. I'm not arguing with that, but I know
so you didn't watch it.
Raw and SmackDown, so I know that I got to watch those ones first. Ugh. I hope you realize the sacrifices I make for your show. I'd much rather be watching some indie stuff, but I have to watch that Raw product every week for your behalf. All right, there's your bonus bad cop moment. All right, Bishop, take us away with your main bad cop moment.
My main bad cop moment. I absolutely love women's wrestling. It's so refreshing, especially compared to what I grew up on, that translated into the Attitude Era bra and panty matches. And my bad reason for saying that now, my bad cop moment is we're getting too much presented as pretty now, at least for me. Like on Raw, they broke up the Iconics. They want to turn Peyton Royce into a model. Lacey Evans had a military gimmick that worked really well because it's true to life. And to her performing character, she's so strong. Her finisher is the women's right. And you remove that character to have them more dolled up and sexy. Then show us what they can actually do. With Peyton Royce in one-on-one, I remember seeing her in NXT going, wow, she could be a future champion. She can actually wrestle. And they haven't given us that on the main roster. Yet the both of them just won the women's tag team championships in a way that I absolutely hated. I mean, the one highlight I had from that was the baseball slide kick from Charlotte onto Lacey. It looked like it hurt. and anytime you can make it look real is great. But I just... And everything they did with Carmella, when she came back as the, Untouchable? Is that what she's calling herself now? Untouchable Carmella? They throw all this sexy at you. And then when TLC came around, she puts on an outstanding athletic match in the ring. But when the narrative gets painted that they're sexy, it's as if they're not performers. And when you go away from that athleticism, because we even, when we did the Twitch watch along for TLC, there was somebody in the chat that said, oh, I don't like women's wrestling. And then by the end of, you know, let's clear the veil here, watch the match for bell to bell, they love the match. Because this is wrestling at the end of the day. It's wrestling. Yes, you want to be drawn in, but if you're going to draw us in on looks, and then therefore, to me, the perception is that they can't wrestle because the looks are the value. And I don't like it. It really bothers me. Because, again, like someone like Peyton Royce, or even take Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. They're now the blonde bombshells. They're referred to by Asuka, or however they phrase it, that it has to do with the looks first. But even in the 45 seconds that they had on Raw against Shayna Baszler, they both looked like legit wrestlers, and their strength was precedent. Why can't we get that and then show us how good you look afterwards? And it's a little bothersome, but maybe I'm just old and married and the looks aren't the first thing that I go for anymore.
The only bad comp thing I had with the match that you referred to was I like that Lacey Evans went over and got involved with Ric Flair. It caused a distraction. Once again, it cost Charlotte the match. The thing that I don't like is the following day, she was like, oh, it's okay, Dad. I love you. I was like, come on. What on earth are you doing? I know it's social media, but there was no reason for that post at all.
Yeah.
I would much rather have her still been pissed off for another week, month, whatever it is. And if she isn't, then don't run that angle in that actual match itself. That was the bad cop I took from that particular match itself. Matt? You're not actually lost for words, are you?
I don't like hating on women's wrestling. I don't like it. But I have to echo what Bishop says, more or less, unfortunately. Obviously, Graham took a lot of breaks between when he started watching wrestling and the current day, of course. So Graham was spared a lot of the scantily clad lingerie matches and pudding bowl matches and Secret Santa lingerie matches, and you were lucky.
Phew! I'm wiping my brow right now.
Which is why, Graham, we're going to do a forfeit round, Graham, eventually, where you have to watch one if you lose them with Advocate.
I have seen them. Like, I'm going to say, I've been working my way through the WrestleManias. It's not like they don't have any of those matches in there. And I hear them talked about on podcasts as well. And I have seen some of them. There's not something I'm actively going to go... After I've watched them, I'm not going to go, ooh, I must watch some more of those. That was really my cup of tea.
A prime example is if you look back at... I apologize for being a nerd. No, I don't. 2001, No Mercy, had some amazing matches. You had the Dudleys. You had the Hardys on there, of course. You had Test, Booker T, Austin, Angle, RVD. All of these amazing competitors throughout the whole of the card. I think the only women's match on the card was Stacey Keibler versus Tori Wilson in a lingerie match. They just competed in their lingerie. That somehow made it onto the top 10 matches of the year.
Was that voted by the fans?
I sincerely hope not. But that was during the Attitude Era. As soon as you started mentioning, I thought, like, my mind went straight to it. I was like, it was terrible. And the thing is that Tori and Stacey actually weren't too bad in wrestling terms. If you could look at people like, my mind's gone blank.
Way to back up your point.
Well, that's the thing, you see. Actually, it does back up my point, because Bishop, you've seen some of the stuff from the archive, that sort of area, I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah. No, what did so Sable, for instance, right? Sable was the hottest woman on earth, and she did like 3 slaps, a kick, and a powerbomb. Mm-hmm. And Stacey Keibler, if I'm not mistaken, she was the one that did the high foot to the face in the corner. She's a 6 foot tall woman who they used her body to kind of show her moveset. But I mean, they treated all the women as eye candy back then. And even if I'm not mistaken, Trish and Lita had a bra and panty match. So
frequently, unfortunately, yeah.
And when you look at someone like Lita, who now is still able to perform if she decided to get in ring shape and do the whole go through it. You know, and I thought Trish was a little lackluster when she came back, but still, there's more to them, you know, and it's a shame.
Trish and Lita, after they retired, unfortunately, we had a plethora of female talent come through who had no right being near a wrestling ring. Naomi, I didn't think at the time when she debuted would ever last. Turned out that I was proven wrong about her, so I was happy about that. But then you got people like Eva Marie. No. Move on to you, Graham. What's your backup moments?
No, you say I'm fortunate. Mason was even more fortunate that we started watching. We obviously started watching WWE, but once we started going to indie matches, we were so lucky that our first organization had people who were not just good at wrestling, but were also featured in intergender wrestling matches as well. So you could actually see them face off against the men as well. We're talking people like Jordan Grace. We're talking people like Deonna Purrazzo, Alley Cat, who I'm sure is going to get that pushed as well this next year or 18 months or so. I would be shocked if she didn't move up as well. So he's been very fortunate to see the quality of female wrestlers on a monthly basis. So he was very lucky. I'm going to let you go, Matt. We said we were going to switch the order around for this one. So I went second on good cop. So I'm going to let you go second on bad cop.
I'm going back to Raw Legends Night because this was number 10 on the top 10 list. And I'm still not comfortable with this guy being there. I'm not comfortable with Hulk Hogan being back on Raw. I've still got issues with that. Guy hasn't really apologized. I can't say more than that. I have a problem with him being on WWE television at the moment. The fact that they decided to kick him out of Hall of Fame and then re-induct him again, I'm like, no. I mean, New Day quite famously were uncomfortable in being at the event with them at. I wasn't comfortable seeing him and Drew McIntyre doing the shtick before the match with Keith Lee. Was not comfortable with that at all. And that's why my bad cop moment of the week, because I felt uncomfortable.
I had a feeling when you mentioned earlier, and you said, with the exception of certain people, that I think it was pretty obvious that that's what you were going to. And I nearly said, oh, you mean Hulk Hogan? And I was like, you're obviously not mentioning it for a good reason, the fact that you want to bring it up later. So, I only saw highlights for that event. I certainly didn't see the whole thing, so I only got to see little pieces. But I can certainly understand why you'd have a problem with that, for sure. Bishop, anything
yeah,
to add?
I definitely wouldn't disagree. Part of what I wanted to talk about later on, I'll bring up now, but there's, I agree with you. But part of how I intake wrestling now is I try, even though it's terrible wrestling takes, I try to take what I get and then go forward. And then I kind of look on the positive side a little bit. So I spun that particular Hogan, Drew McIntyre thing into, that was a moment for Drew to have, and it was about Drew. It wasn't about making sure Hogan got his opportunity. I compared it to when AJ Styles told, he got his chance to have Gene Okerlund interview him. He goes, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. And that, I believe at that time, Hogan was banned from WWE. So he brought the line in with Hogan not even being around. And, they were kids too, and they grew up with this. And since they're in the industry, I'm sure it meant something to Drew. That's the only way I can phrase it, to choose to kind of avoid a negative connotation with seeing it. I'm completely past it. As far as even accepting Hogan as someone I would want to watch and see again. I don't care if he ever comes back. I don't care if this ever gets resolved. From a redemption standpoint, I do want him to do better, but that's not for me to decide or choose, so I can't invest a negative connotation in as well. Like, for instance, I know there's a lot of negative stuff with Velveteen Dream, and when he showed up on NXT a couple weeks ago, I was a huge fan, and then when the negative stuff came out, every time he shows back up, it's null, For me, it's null, and I move on when it's over, and I tend not to put myself into it.
Now, people who've been following on Twitter will have some idea as to what I want to talk about, because it's very unusual for me to want to talk about WWE, so probably not that surprising that it's going to feature in my bad cop moment. I want to talk about the Gauntlet match. And I want to talk about the ending specifically of the Gauntlet match and what that means going forward. So, oh, you got a shake of a head already. Uh-oh. I had a feeling I might be able to wind you guys up a little bit with my WWE people.
You do a show with this guy, Matt.
So it looks like right now then that Adam Pearce was the winner of the Gauntlet match, and therefore he's going to face Roman Reigns. Now, I've already heard from my perspective, I only know him as that character he plays in WWE. I've already heard people like, I've heard Nishikai already waxing lyrical about how good of a wrestler he is. Can't wait to see where this goes. I've heard that he's a 5-time NWA heavyweight champion. Okay. His last title was 2012. He's an NWA Hall of Famer. Okay, 2015. He was the NWA British Commonwealth Championship as well. Last title, 2010. The NWA Heritage Champion, 2 times. Last time was 2008. Yeah, I heard somebody mention the PWDG Champion as well out on the West Coast. Yeah, that was 2004, though. This is nothing very recent at all. And that all stems from the WWE tweet for people who didn't actually see the match. At ScrapDaddyAP will challenge at WWE Roman Reigns for the hashtag Universal title at the Royal Rumble. Yeah, this is not what I want to see as well. SmackDown is generally considered the better of the two products between SmackDown and Raw, and that's what you actually put out there. The fans were not impressed at all. At the Chris Phoenix, I had to see the check mark to see if this was a legit tweet. What the hell is this? At KimMTZ17, let's be fair, if Adam Pearce was around 10 years ago, I wouldn't have any issue watching him challenge the Edges and Cenas of the time. But right now, I can't get hyped around this match in 2021. Come on. At WrestleTown AA, you do know you were so close to giving us what we actually wanted, WWE, right? Shinsuke Nakamura, how many times have we said that he's fantastic and he's not getting these opportunities? It finally looks like he's got that opportunity, and you pull that BS switch on us right at the end? Not happy with this at all. Ratings are falling generally around the card. Who do you put against the hottest character in WWE right now? Adam Pearce? Are you freaking kidding me? That's the best that you guys can come up with? Now, I've heard this as a possibly a place marker for eventually to bring in a Kevin Owens, but right now, I am really unhappy about this story. Now, this is not you. With him coming back, obviously he is a wrestler, which I didn't know. This is not the same thing as you bringing back a WWE great. So this is not bringing back a Goldberg after you haven't seen him for so long. All right, guys, here's the chance where you can actually give me some little bit of feedback. What was Goldberg's last match before he came back when he faced, when he came back in 2017? What was his last match in WWE before that?
It was Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20, correct?
Perfect. Madison Square Gardens. Classic match. We all know it. He'd been gone over 10 years. We were excited to see him come back because obviously it generated a buzz. I know, Matt, that you can't stand Sting. I understand that.
No, I'm expecting you.
What was his last match in WWE?
That was Night of Champions.
Correct. Against?
Seth Rollins.
You could probably tell me the stadium it's in if I asked you, but that's not important. The point is, those people, those matches are a long time ago, but they're still iconic, and you know. All right, here's the challenging one for you. What was Adam Pearce's last match? According to Cage Match.
The Gauntlet match Friday night.
Before that. When he came back, but before that.
Graham.
And he didn't really. If you're calling that a match, Bishop, as well, I'm gonna have serious arguments with you as well, because that was not
ring twice.
That was a little.
Did bell ring twice.
Have that. All right, I'm gonna tell you the match: Ace Steel versus Adam Pearce. It was a double disqualification. MPW from Kansas City. I'm gonna guess you don't know what MPW is, so I'm gonna tell you: Metro Pro Wrestling. Guys, they are not on the same level at all here. If you're going to bring somebody back for that classic match, you do not bring back Adam Pearce. You bring back a Goldberg, you bring back a Sting, you bring somebody like that as well. I also was curious as well, how many people have any idea who Pearce is? I did a Twitter search. How many people put SmackDown and Pearce with Pearce spelled incorrectly? There was 100 tweets within the first few hours of that happening. That's how little people know about Adam Pearce. They don't even know how to spell his name. I was also curious, how many people do you think have spelled Reigns incorrectly? So Reigns as in R-A-I-N-S. Reigns plus SmackDown.
Hundreds of thousands.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's just talk then in the last 8 hours, then, just to have the same
1700.
Time. 1700. How many?
1700.
1700, Matt?
1701.
You went the wrong way. There's actually only been six in the whole of 2021. That's how big of a name Roman Reigns is, that everybody knows that you spell it R-E-I-G-N-S. The embarrassing thing is, all six are by the same person. It's from somebody called Rachel Book. You can't even spell her own name correctly because Rachel is R-A-C-H-E-L. She is R-A-C-H-A-L. So there's only one person who's actually done it in the whole of 2021. I am absolutely appalled by this. As soon as I saw what was going on, if this is their actual legitimate match, I am seriously unhappy about this. I was wondering if you might throw back a question at me like, so Graham, who would you actually push possibly for this match? Kevin Owens would seem like an obvious person. Seth Rollins admittedly is not there right now. He would be a character. I understand Mustafa Ali has other roles right now, but that would have been how about Cesaro? Big E has finally got a big push. Everyone said, hey, give Big E the... Why not Cesaro? Everyone knows what a great wrestler he is. Why not give him that opportunity? I went back and looked at the PWI Top 500 because I was curious to see. From the SmackDown roster, 8 was Seth, so he's currently out right now. Roman is 14, so obviously he can't face himself. Aleister Black, 23. I haven't seen much of him recently. What the hell's going on there? Shinsuke Nakamura, 26. That would have made sense to actually use Shinsuke Nakamura. Or why the hell aren't we bringing up Adam Cole? Adam Cole is number 2 on that list. I don't want to say he's languishing in NXT. Wouldn't you be more excited for Adam Cole versus Roman Reigns than Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns? All right, I'm ranting. I knew this was one of my longer ones, but I was pretty fired up about this yesterday. Go ahead, guys. Comments. That's why I wanted to go last.
Well, you've taken all of my B checks, sir, so.
Wow.
You've literally taken the whole lot, so well done.
Yes. I am nothing if not thorough.
But I do have to say, you were wrong at one thing.
Okay.
Goldberg came back in 2016, not 2017.
Ah, oh, darn it. That's what I get for relying on my brain and not actually doing the thorough research for it. Ah. Seriously. Go ahead. You've already done this once, so you know.
Before speed check starts, I want to you guys.
We're not done with this yet.
Disagree with you. I completely disagree. I love Adam Pearce being the opponent because it's not about the match. I mean, I'll contradict myself a little bit here, but you know, I said earlier that give me a good match, I'll watch it any time. But what Roman Reigns is doing, he's bringing you in by telling just the story, and the match is actually secondary. And what Roman is doing right now, I mentioned on my show, he started out as the tribal chief of his family, the Anunnaki family, but he's trying to be the tribal chief of the WWE family too. And part of doing that is going to have to take out these leadership roles as well. He told Adam Pearce that he violated what Roman wanted. So if you do that and you get in the way, there's consequences. And that's what Roman's all about. So Roman is telling the story perfectly. And for Adam Pearce to be the next opponent, it has nothing to do with the title. It has everything to do with Roman Reigns. So if you're going to buy into Roman Reigns, you have to buy into his story, not necessarily who he's facing. And the caveat may also be, every person that he's gone up against, he's allowed them to get out of the scenario by acknowledging him as the tribal chief. He could also do that with Adam Pearce. But you got to tune in next Friday to figure it out. You may not get that on the top 10, but...
It is very debatable whether I'll be watching next Friday.
No, you won't.
I'm not impressed.
Top you 10, won't.
That might be as far as I go.
Said the man wearing the AEW shirt.
You were a little bit late today. We talked about the fact that I knew this was going to be a very WWE heavy show today, which is why I thought I'd better at least have some AEW on just for a little bit of balance today. So this is the first time where we've had just a single guest. So we've got to kind of tweak the formula a little bit to try and get our times in. So we skipped the open agenda last week, but we only have 3 people rather than 4. When that happens, we're going to let our guests do the open agenda instead. So Bishop, what would you like to talk about that is It's supposed to be non-wrestling related, but Matt never follows that rule anyway, so you have time to talk about whatever you would like. And I got, of course, the obligatory finger.
You know, I debated on Open Agenda, and I'll just keep it short. I mentioned a little bit of it earlier, but it's wrestling Twitter, period. It's Twitter, period. It's social media, period. Without it, I don't meet you guys. I don't do this episode. I don't have a podcast. I don't meet incredible people. Graham, you're on the East Coast US with me. Matt, you're out in the UK. I have podcast listeners from Australia, the Ukraine. I was talking to somebody in Arizona this morning. It's amazing. It's amazing. But in the events that happened in the US on Wednesday and the stuff that, you know, with Brody Lee passing away, the shit I can care less about, and sorry for my first one, I kept it clean for the first hour and change. Everyone's got a fucking opinion, man. And especially with Brody Lee, when he passed away, it was so sudden and hurt people in so many different ways. WWE puts up a graphic, and then everybody has to tell them how they didn't do enough or they did it the wrong way. And when you do stuff like that, you take away from what is important. You take away from what could be positive out of it. And by doing that, even when you're, like, for instance, WWE should have done a 10-bell salute or a video package. As that perpetrates through, you're adding negativity. Stop. The point of calling my podcast Terrible Wrestling Takes is because I would say something and somebody would go, you're wrong. And I've been fortunate enough to just release my 52nd episode today, and I actually haven't gotten that. So I'm really surprised. It's been about 6 months, and it's been phenomenal. And all of that, but I started recurating my timeline because I don't need to scroll across somebody saying, why wasn't this done or why is that done that way? I'm not a big AEW fan. I turn it on every once in a while, and if I see a match I like, I keep watching. Eddie Kingston pulled me right in. I watched his match against Mockley, and I go, well, I'm not going to watch your wrestling. It doesn't do it for me. You know, but I give everything a chance. But when it's absolutely negative, I don't bury it because it's not for me to choose, especially when people like Graham absolutely support AEW by buying T-shirts. You know, but yeah, look, if I ever make some serious money with this podcast, I'll buy all the pay-per-views, do watch-alongs, and have fun with everyone because wrestling isn't mine to choose on what comes at me. It's on TV. I deal with it. I move on because I enjoy watching it. And I would love to watch everything else. This TNA pay-per-view, I'm not going to buy it. Or Impact pay-per-view, I'm not going to buy it. You know, I'll watch it. Honestly, it doesn't do it for me, so I'm not going to watch. But I'm also not going to tell people that they shouldn't watch it. That negativity just doesn't help anybody. So I'll continue to go on my stride of putting out the positive hits of what I like. And like I said, even with the Hurt Business stuff that I didn't like on the show, I didn't put it on the episode because I didn't have anything nice to say about it. I do have opinions on how I think things should go or what I do like watching and what I don't like watching. And I put it out there. You like it, you don't, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. So I do appreciate what social media has brought for me. And I wish, you know, people could just kind of bite their tongue just a little bit.
I run the Good Cop, Bad Cop Twitter feed. I think most people know that. I've done it in slightly different ways. The MGB Graham account, I've had that for years, but it hasn't always been to do with wrestling. I've been kind of been very selective with people who I followed on that. And when I set up Mason's account, I was even more kind of structured of who was going to be on his account because it was his account and it was a PG account. For Good Cop, Bad Cop, we were a little bit more flexible. We wanted to throw out as much as we can, find as many new people as possible. And obviously, at the same time, we've met some great people by doing that. Those first episodes that we talked about earlier, I found a lot of new episodes, a lot of new podcasts, and met a lot of great people through that. And I've got a lot of great podcasts on my iPod to listen to. At the same time, when you do that, you also obviously get that negative side as well, which you can't always tell when you look at a Twitter bio and just from an occasional post. Sometimes somebody paints something that's really inspirational or very, you know, oh, that was a good observation, and then you'll follow that person, but then later on you'll find it's not good. We blocked over 2,000 people. I run this account now on the basis that if I see anything that I'm like is what I consider out of line, anything that's certainly racist, sexist, homophobic, anything like that, that's gone straight away. Anybody that's being excessively negative as well, same thing. If you're calling out the other person, like, why are you watching WWE for? AEW is we're not really into that stuff. We're kind of trigger happy with that a little bit. Yes, I've made a few mistakes by probably blocking people who I made a mistake on and I shouldn't have done. But on the whole, our Twitter feed now, when I look through that Twitter feed, that's the one that I go to because it's far more positive. The people who are on there are people who are well-informed, and you're going to get a much better quality of opinion from that by looking at it. But yes, social media can be a good thing and a bad thing, and I definitely recommend people use the mute button. I use block. Bad cop is very trigger-happy. I really should use the mute more frequently, but basically it achieves the same goal. So yeah, I think you got to make your social media an enjoyable experience, because if it's not, what the heck are you doing on there? So yeah, there's definitely ways you can improve that for sure.
Absolutely. I know that I am a quote WWE mark, but at the same time, if you like AEW, of course watch it. I'm not going to say don't watch something just because it isn't my personal cup of tea doesn't mean it's not yours. Anyone can watch whatever they want to watch from wrestling business because everyone's got their own personal cup of tea. Some people out there will love 205 Live. Some people can't stand it. You know, some people will love watching the indies. Some people can't stand it. They're idiots, in my opinion. if you don't like the indies, you're an idiot, in my opinion. But if you don't want to watch the indies, then obviously that's fine with me. There's something for everybody out there.
Yeah, there's so much material out there that you can pick and choose exactly what you want to watch to get that experience. I understand why people don't like Orange Cassidy. I can understand that they don't appreciate that type of wrestling. I personally do. I love to watch that thing. But yes, you can definitely find whatever you want to find.
He pulled me right in.
I don't get how people can't like him.
It's not traditional wrestling. Like, I'm not going to back Jim Cornette or anything, but it's not your traditional wrestling that people would have watched 20 years ago. It's silly, but I like a little bit of silly in my wrestling as well. But he is extremely talented. If he wasn't extremely talented, I don't think it would work anywhere near as well. But yeah, fantastic wrestler. And I think to boot as well, just a really nice guy. Having met him, the time that he spent with Mason Jackson, I will always be a fan just because of that little time. Actually, bonus good cop moment. I actually bought myself an Orange Cassidy, the proper Orange Cassidy shirt this week, and I got one for Mason as well. So all three of us have the proper Orange Cassidy shirt. I wanted to support Orange Cassidy.
And to be fair, let's not forget... Oh, train of thought's going. No, it's gone. Yeah, I've got it. You're talking about the comedic wrestling and about serious wrestling. One of the best people ever... in terms of in-ring talent, William Regal.
Yeah.
You'll never find someone who was never afraid to dress up or do something stupid.
Make a fool of himself, sure.
I recently watched a match on YouTube, William Regal versus Goldust in a Trading Places match, where they had to dress up as each other. So he dressed up. So William Regal dressed up as Goldust, and Goldust dressed up as William Regal. Oh, it was so funny.
You can find a link for that, Matt. I would like to put that in the episode notes because I'm already we're both nodding our heads here. I certainly would like.
Yeah, to send that over to me. I got to see that. Was that on a house show?
No, it was on Raw.
Really?
This was on Raw from years ago. I will find
was
that
this,
for you.
Was this when Regal was man's man? So Goldust showed up in the vest and the construction hat.
This is after, way after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, he could certainly make fun of himself with being besmirched. That was one of my earliest moments of watching WWE. All right, shall we move on to our final segment then? Let's try and wrap this up in under an hour and a half. Let's move on to the Devil's Advocate.
Good! Bad!
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad.
All right, why don't you return? Why don't you return yours, then? So which one do you have for Matt? Right.
So Matt, I'll do yours because yours was such a softball for mine. Kind of the opposite.
You lost.
Yes, I apologize. But I okay. So for you, I came up with Finn Balor and Pac have agreed to a tuxedo match. The winner is declared when one participant's abs are exposed and oiled up by their opponent. In its purest form, this match should be watched blindfolded.
Everybody should always wear a blindfold while watching Finn Balor wrestle because he is just so beautiful. I mean, those abs in general need to be preserved for everyone else to see. I need to have a blindfold at all times. I want my heart rate to go through the roof.
I'm perfect for time. Holy hell. Normally when we get people come on and be the devil's advocate, it's normally this. That was very intricate. Oh my gosh, Matt. I'm glad I got a chance to prepare. Now I know the level we're working on today.
You, sir. Very well done, sir.
It took me 3 days to word that correctly.
That was brilliant. That's a Hall of Fame level.
Well, I thought mine was a little bit out there, but wow, you I think you might have elevated it a little bit. All right, Bishop, my devil's advocate for you is, as a big WWE fan and wanting support the wrestlers in whatever way I can, following the announcement from Natalia and her sister Jenny, I will also not be wearing underwear all year.
Not a problem. I'm not wearing underwear right now. Another 350 days is easy for me.
We didn't even need 20 seconds. All right, I guess I picked the wrong one for this one then. All right, he got it. Now, we haven't quite figured out how we're going to close this out, but we did figure that.
Well, I got one for you too, Cam.
Oh, of course.
Nice try. Nice try.
I was just about to wrap the show up. How convenient. Okay, of course. Go ahead.
So after the heated debate on the spelling of indies, I have come to the conclusion that it is not INDIE or even INDY, but in fact, INDEE.
Of course, obviously, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do, and Americans are very well known for having to make some things as simple as possible. So, yes, you want to go with the thing that the kids are going to go with. It's not about us. We're old hacks. We've been watching this for years and years. It's about the youngsters who are coming up. You want to go with that text talk. You want to go things that go cool on Twitter. Who has time to remember if it's IE or just Y anyway? So why wouldn't you just go with double E as you suggested?
And time.
You let me off the hook a little bit. I thought I was going to have to defend INDY, and I was like, ah, I was biting my fist the whole time. I was like, oh, you know, you've been listening in very closely. You know exactly which the weak spots are. Matt, we might have to be a little bit more protective of some of our weaknesses, because, yeah, he picked those out pretty good.
I doffed my cap to you, sir. Well done.
The thing we did decide is we are going to ask the three crucial questions that good cop, bad cop people want to know. So question one is, how do you cut your toast? Is it like down the diagonal? Is it down the side? Or do you not cut at all?
Toast is triangles.
Triangles. Okay. Matt's approval. I guess the thumb of approval from Matt for that one. The second one is, what's the best style of fry, as in like French fries, crinkle cut, potato wedges, spirals, all that type of jazz?
So the best fry is home fry. Any diner omelet coming with a home fry is good with me. Fries are yours. I'm not a big fry guy. But I think last week or an episode before, somebody said Arby's curly fries. So if you're going to go curly, you go Arby's. If you're going to go straight, you go either Wendy's or McDonald's. But if you go Wendy's, you dip it in the Frosty. Every fry has its home. So I wouldn't trust a fry out of place.
Horses for courses, yeah, depends where you're at. It makes your choice. I would totally agree with that fact as well. And the last one, and I noticed, Matt, View from the Top Row stole this as well. We asked the Brainbuster boys, and then they got asked it just a few days later as well. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
I'm going to force you into some editing. At Mrs. TW Takes has a fantastic opinion on this, so I'm going to try to get her to come downstairs to answer it. Is she coming? Yep, here she comes. All right. The answer is yes, but... here's the thing. I'm a food guy. I've restaurant business for 20 years. You can cook anything that tastes phenomenal. And like I said, everything has a home. It has to go on the right pizza. If it's a plain cheese pizza that doesn't need toppings, it doesn't need any. If it's something that needs to be tinkered with because your cheese pizza isn't good enough, then yeah, Hawaiian pizza is perfect. Hello, dear.
Hello.
We got Mrs. Takes here as well. We hear that you have a wonderful take on does pineapple belong on pizza?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Ham and pineapple all day. It's the greatest thing ever.
I should screen my guests ahead of time just to make sure that they agree with me on the pineapple thing. And only if they say no, then don't invite them on. Just to see his reaction.
In the top here, we have that. The one whose background is at Mrs. TW Takes.
Yeah, because you keep disappearing for some reason.
Yeah, it's a virtual
background. I have the ultimate respect for you, my dear, but you're wrong.
thanks, but like, no.
I've learned to never argue a woman.
Good job.
So how's that for an answer? Is absolutely.
God, ham and pineapple is the greatest. You can't fight ham and pineapple on a pizza. It's too good to be true.
At the same time, just like we were wrestling earlier, talking about it, just because I don't like it doesn't mean you can't.
This is true. Absolutely. I mean, you're wrong, insane. But like...
I think you're insane, personally. But you're entitled to your opinion.
Likewise.
Thank you.
And I think we probably split the honors there. So I got my pizza, you got your toast. So I think we'll call that one a draw, Matt, I think. Most importantly, I know we're going to play your commercial, though, but tell us where we can find yourself and your good wife on social media and where we can find your podcast as well.
Yeah, for as far as podcasts go, it's been great. We're on all platforms. If you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure we're on the same platform there, even Overcast. Even though I petitioned to get it taken off of Overcast because no one actually uses it. Very lucky at TW Takes Podcast across all social media, even a little Facebook page. We're dealing with everything as it grows. And the lovely wife has just joined Twitter at Mrs. TW Takes.
Perfect. I didn't know about the Facebook page, so I'm glad I asked then. I would have gone and known what they were. I got it one wrong last week, and I don't know what happened. Normally, my predictive text, as soon as I put in like TW, it knows it's you. And I guess I tagged the wrong person by accident. So
yeah, I tracked TW Takes. It's somebody I think out in Asia who doesn't use it. And like you said about the MTV Jackson, you kind of got no luck on that one either. Oh, Twitch as well. We're really trying to get the pay-per-view watch along going. I'm working with Wrestling on the Rocks for something for Royal Rumble. Just having fun, as much fun as possible. As far as video goes, I think that's kind of what we're just going to stick to for now is some pay-per-view watch along. So Twitch is at TW Takes Podcast.
And yeah, I fortunately Wednesday was not a good day for me. I know you were doing the NXT thing, and it was the latest I think I've ever worked doing schoolwork. I was still up at nearly 1 o'clock. It was just an absolutely crazy day. So sometimes it falls like that, sometimes it doesn't. You never quite know. But yeah, whenever possible, I certainly want to be. I'm trying to remember which was the last. I'm terrible. You asked me about something from 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. I don't remember what the last pay per view was because I think we watched.
Yeah, there we go.
Get an
invite. But if he follows me on social media properly, he would have seen the link. It's up to him to click.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
All right.
He doesn't like pineapple on pizza.
So. That's true.
All right. Once again, thank you so much, TW Takes. Thank you so much, Mrs. TW Takes, for a little cameo appearance at the end. We really appreciate that. We'll be back next week, Matt, right? We're out of here.
Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/